You are listening to Let's Talk Shop, produced by SMACNA and hosted by Angie Simon. Let's Talk Shop is an ongoing podcast series where sheet metal contractors discuss important topics and trends related to their business. And now, Angie Simon.
Hi, this is Angie Simon, past president of SMACNA and your host for Let's Talk Shop. And today I'm excited to have Chris Roenick with us from Tweet Garrett. He was the winner of the MEP Innovator of the Year Award at the MEP Innovation Conference recently. And I think we want to hear a lot about what he does and how innovative he was with Tweet Garrett. So welcome, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I really would love to hear, Chris, about you a little bit, your background at and how you got into the biz industry and how you got to Tweet Garrett.
Yeah. Try to keep it brief, maybe a bit. I'm not a huge fan of talking about myself.
That's okay.
And I think even this award, I think it's more of a company role and initiative in our culture here. But yeah, myself personally, I'm a sheet metal worker. I did co-op in high school, had my credits. So I worked residential work for a bit, and all my cousins were in the trades. So I knew that's what I wanted to do. When that window opened right after high school, I came to Tweet Garrett. I've been here for 23 years.
Wow.
Started as a sheet metal apprentice, and went through my apprenticeship, became a journeyman and a foreman. I've always liked technology. Through my apprenticeship, like I kind of got put into different roles where I was able to do some like back end computer stuff. And that just kind of gravitated into more and more consistently. Mm-hmm. So I when our shop purchased a coil line, I believe, I came in and helped with that and our new plasma table. And then I kind of got into our inputting role there. So not too long after that, we switched to Autodesk fabrication, which then we're using ITM based content, and all that stuff is kind of custom made from the sheet metal perspective. So I just naturally became our fabrication database manager, creating our own services and content from there. And did a lot of different work at the shop, purchasing and running equipment and maintaining equipment, maintaining the software. Then I jumped into a VDC role. And then eventually where I am now is our construction technology manager, kind of a department that didn't exist too many years ago or at all. But
I love that story. I love the story that starting in the field and learning all about construction, that you really just self-taught yourself along the way and learned along the way with technology growing. And it shows that we can, you know, you can do anything you want to do and to be. So will you be at one company your entire career? Yeah, that's really a neat story. Can you tell us a little bit about what Tweet Garrett does in the Wisconsin area? Are they full mechanical?
Yep, we're full service mechanical, piping, sheet metal, and plumbing. We also have custom equipment that does a lot of food grade stuff. We kind of do a lot of everything. Like I think the Midwest, we need to be able to do a lot of everything. We're not building high rises on the coasts. We're headquartered in De Pere, Wisconsin, which is just south of Green Bay. We have, I think, four different satellite office and shop locations now. Our main manufacturing facility is in Wrightstown, just 20 minutes south of our headquarters. And I think we're licensed in all, if not all, most states. And yeah.
So one of the things that you are in charge of implementing new technology, particularly in the shop for your company, right? What are the keys? I'm kind of going off our script, so I'm going to wing it here with you.
Yeah.
But what are our key when you want to implement a new technology? What are some of the keys that you see that you felt like worked for you guys at Tweet Garrett? I mean, how do you get everybody to accept it, and how do you do implementing new technology?
I think what's worked really well. We've been very, I don't know if you want to say cutting edge. Like I think through my years, like we've experienced different. We're a family owned business. We've gone through different phases and different stages. I think what's cool, like one story I like to tell, like my path, right? Like coming from the trade and going to being where I'm at now. I feel like when I was on the field floor, it was always the shop. messed everything up. And then I moved to the shop. And then when I was in the shop, it was like the office messed everything up and vice versa. So I've kind of got to live it all now. Like I would say owners, architects, engineers, but I'm working with them. And I think like my role allows me to not, to talk across the silos. So I think my drive and I'm passionate about making change that helps. And I think from an adoption standpoint, and I think what helps in the case of my trade experience, like a lot of the things that we're talking about, it's a group conversation. It's the culture here that wants to do it, which makes it a lot easier. But I think the problems we're trying to tackle are problems that we know exist for our field and our shop users or any user for that matter. But I think the solutions that I've been involved in are solutions that are, they're solutions to a problem that we're trying to fix.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're making it better for them. I mean, and if you can explain or show all your field folks that this is going to make it better for them, or your shop folks that this is going to be a better system for them, then it helps.
Yeah. I think that having that constant communication upstream and downstream, right? Like I'd say through the years, like there's been times where something was maybe pushed from the top down.
Yeah.
And there was no explanation. And I'm sitting here like, why am I doing this? Like this doesn't make sense. Like somebody told somebody that told somebody else this was a great solution. So we're just gonna do it without understanding our process might be a little different.
Yeah.
I think what's been beneficial with leadership now and my role and everybody's role is I think our communication has gotten a lot better. So people know, or at least have a broad idea of what the end result is going to be and why we're trying to change something.
Yeah. So communication, transparency as to why we're doing something, but also a little bit what's in it for them. I mean, you do have to share, they need to see the vision of what's in it for them and how's it going to make them better too. Right. And then sounds like you, when that happens, you're the champion of the process and you've been through all different phases of the business. So that's a really good thing to see.
It's definitely given me an advantage, right? I feel like in a way, like I can say I've lived your struggles. My hands might be a little softer today than they used to be, but you know, I was there at one point in time.
Yeah. So it does come better from you coming through the field than it does from, you know, that college educated, never touched a piece of ductwork person says you have to do this. I get that. And, but it sounds like you said, kind of bridging the silos is a great way to say that because you're trying to put them all together to see that. And then how did you learn all that, the IT side of all the technology? Did you just self-learned that?
Yeah, for the most part, I feel like when I want to say like not me, right? Like I think I just got lucky in the sense of like liking that stuff. So it's been easy for me to kind of adapt to it. It is self-taught in a lot of cases. And I think even generational, my age, I mean, YouTube was just coming out. Social media was new. Like, so I feel like I, on a personal level, got to play with like the first Android phones and I remember like rooting and ROMing phones and just doing that on the side and like learning the tech stuff that I didn't ever think from a trade perspective I was going to be involved with. And it kind of has come full circle.
Well, I think you need to be one who helps sell our next generation to show, because our next generation, they that we're welcoming into the industry, they were born with iPhones in their hands, right? Yeah. So now you need to share with them how much technology is in our industry now, because that will help them want to be in our industry. So I think there was a young lady I was talking to at a camp we had, and she had no idea that we used robotics within construction. And I said, oh, because she loved robotics. And I said, no, we use robotics in construction. So that's a good role for you. So speaking of like the future of technology, where do you envision things? Do you see anything on the horizon that you think is coming out that might be exciting?
I don't like to gravitate towards the buzzwords, and because then I feel like it becomes cliche and people are listening, the people that are doing, and then there's a whole bunch that are just like, yeah, that's just the next flavor of the month thing. But I truly think, and I've mentioned this a couple of times in conversations I've had recently, I think the industry as a whole has talked big data forever, and I don't want to say AI because like I feel like then I'm just saying AI, but I clearly think something, all industries, or a lot of industries in particular, are going to be affected by some shape of that. And I think where we can take advantage of it is we now have, or we've had years of historical data and not a real good way to scrub it or clean it or do anything with it, right? Like I have a folder, I have a hard drive that's got a ton of old jobs on it, but that doesn't mean anything now. Or unless you had data scientists on your roll, and a lot of construction companies aren't investing in a ton of computer programmers because we're building a building.
Right.
Trying to figure out where that role fits. Can we do it with less people and use the use of artificial intelligence and machine learning to get us there without fully committing and being a tech company that is a construction company?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think we do need to be willing to grasp where we're going with new technology, I think, because we won't have as many people available in our industry in the future. I mean, we're losing too many people. So being able to utilize that technology, I think, is going to be the way to go. And you're right about the big data, in that it would be nice to be able to take information and analyze it and say, how can we become better with it? And you probably see that in your shop, number one. That's probably the place where you get most of that information.
Yeah, I think the shop and the field. I think all productivity tracking in general is, like, true productivity tracking is getting better and better, right? Like, I mean, it's an estimate today. It was an estimate yesterday. But I think the zoning in and truly grabbing that in a manner that's more automated. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's where we lose a lot of it, is once it starts becoming too manual, it gets pencil whipped, and it's, we'll just fudge some numbers here, fudge some numbers there. Like, I think we're getting to a better place where we truly understand our estimate isn't an estimate anymore, or eventually it won't be. Like, this is what we.
You know, and that's, I know when I was at Western Alley, one of the things that we, when we tried to roll out new phase codes so that we could do more productivity tracking, trying to explain to them the reason we're doing that is to refine our estimates, to say, when we'll leave all the hours in there if we're over houring it, if it's good, times are good. But when times get tight, if we want to land the job, I need to know where I can cut and where I shouldn't cut. Yep. And that's and I will tell you that we learned really quickly once we really did start tracking it properly, that we weren't putting enough time in for duct shafts. I mean, the duct shafts and always take longer than we put in. And that, I mean, little things like that. And then on the other end, we were killing it on the trim stuff. So when we wanted to cut, if we needed to cut, we could cut there. And that's important.
And me, if I go back to my phase code life of me working with the tools in the shop or on the field, and I remember, like, filling out a manual time card or even the digital time cards that we use now and trying to, like, figure out the phase code of this thing. And from that level, not being a project manager, like, I could care less. Like, so I would say, like, if I was to come on in a year from now or talk to you this summer and say, we don't use phase codes anymore, I'd say I'm successful in what I did.
That would be awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. So you're talking to somebody who, my first job, we got a fax machine 3 months into my first job, and we use an adding machine to add up our estimate, which we did by hand. So times have changed a lot in our industry, and I have a hard time picturing forward more than a year or two, because everything's changing so rapidly. So yeah. Do you have, is part of your role as construction technology manager trying to help everybody understand where you're going with that? I mean, within the company, because it is hard to grasp sometimes.
Yeah. I don't think it's ever been a defined part of the role, but I would say 100%, like, morally, that's how I just think back of my previous experiences, and I preach communication a lot. I know it's not the easiest amongst all the time, and everybody doesn't need to know everything, but at the same time, everybody needs to know everything. So I do focus a lot on trying to explain the problem at hand that we're trying to solve.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree with that. And communication from the beginning of my career, communication has always been the number one challenge and issue. And even with all this technology, it still is that way. But again, also trying to help people understand where the construction industry is going is important. So what on the MEP Innovation Conference, which is this has been our, I think it's been our third maybe conference, maybe with the pandemic, I'm not sure if that's third or fourth, but that we did combined with NECA and MCA. And do you see a benefit in us doing it to combine with them?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't think of anything negative other than, like, I can't think of anything. I do. I enjoy, it's my favorite trade show I get to go to. It's my people and it's our problems. Like, I think like, if I think of like one specific thing that I was going to say that, like one specific reason to go, like, I don't know if I can name one. Like, it's altogether, I love sharing what I know because that's how I got to who I am. Like, I don't like to, like, this is my secret little project or my proprietary little stuff over here. Not to say that there isn't certain pieces of that, but I think going back to communication, right? Like,
right.
The other trades are all involved. Like, I think it's great that it is all three. And I think the content and the people that are there are all valuable. And everybody's kind of got that open mind of sharing as well.
Yeah, well, honestly, if you're on a project, and let's say if you're full full mechanical, but you don't have electrical.
No electrical.
So let's say you're on a project, though, and you're working hand in hand with an electrical contractor. You need the team to be versed in everything. And it's really great to have all three of us together. And then where we have sheet metal only, and they're going to be working on a team with mechanical and electrical, the more we can communicate together, the better we are. We all face the same challenges, for sure. Yep. So, and particularly where technology wise, you know, we may have specific shop fabrication tools, technology wise, that we do with sheet metal, but in reality, project manager software, you know, productivity tracking software, accounting software, all of that is very common to all three industries.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad to see that. Now, so have you participated in this for how many years have you been involved in the MEP Innovation Conference?
My third in-person one. So if it was all like that, I guess the first one I did, I want to say Tampa and then Boston and then now Orlando.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I know that it's getting more and more popular every year, and I think it's a great conference. So, and I think it's also a very neat that they have actually a winner for the Innovator of the Year from all three, SMACNA, MCA, and NECA, just because then we can learn a lot more about all three innovators, which is excellent.
Yeah. So. And in my case, like I said, not a big like promote myself person.
Yeah.
And the winning it this year, like the on stage with questions, I was like, oh boy, this, I didn't know this is what was going to happen. And I was glad they, to the stage with.
Did you know ahead of time before they announced it?
I did not.
Oh, you did not. Yeah, that's an uncomfortable thing, getting called up at the stage, right?
Yeah. I knew I was nominated, but I didn't know that I had won.
It sounded like from looking at the videos, which if you're listening and you want to look at it, there's a video on SMACNA with Chris and some of his people at work about congratulating him. But it appeared that they were very, you know, they thought you were very well deserved and that you have done a great job at Tweet Garrett about your innovation. So,
yeah.
Is there any last thoughts you'd like to give everybody about technology and innovation?
No, I don't think anything in particular. Like I said, to me in general, winning, it's humbling. I think it's cool to be considered in this category with the peers that I've looked up to over the number of the years and being on the same page with those guys and the new guys coming up. Everybody's at a different stage in this journey. And that's been fun too, like having those conversations with the guys that I used to be the guy in the back of the room, like just hanging on to every word that the presenters were saying, and now I'm kind of in that scenario where I'm having conversations with those guys are presenting myself, and it's rewarding to be able to kind of help back, pay back, and have the conversations where we're going next and have the easier conversations of the stuff we've lived. Like, I think there's benefit in not like recreating the wheel, right? Like I can help somebody else help and they can help me in the future, I'm all for that.
Well, you know what? Good competition. If we help each other be better competition, it's a great thing. And we all compete against maybe our kind of our non-union contractors. So that's us working together to do that. But you're a great story because I love that you've come up through the industry and you have just self-taught this along the way. But and it shows everybody that we can pretty much, they can do anything they want to do and just be willing to try and be willing to learn. So, yeah. Well, Chris, thank you very much for your time. I will look forward to seeing you this summer. I know that Tweet Garrett's hosting a heavy metal summer experience camp, so I look forward to seeing you guys this summer at your graduation.
Yeah, likewise. We are looking forward to hosting it. I have two children in high school myself, and the amount of conversations that's even stirred internally at home, knowing that I'm in the trade, and then, but just, well, what's this mean, Dad? What's that mean? And
great.
It's been fun. Looking forward to it.
Well, please share your story with all those kids, because it is a great story. Because I've told the same thing to the kids that are in the camps, that, you know, you start in our sheet metal industry, you can do anything you want. And many, many owners of our companies have started as trade people in the industry. So I love that.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And everybody, thank you for listening. We appreciate this. Look forward to the next Let's Tech Shop.
Awesome. Thanks, Angie.
Thank you.
Let's Talk Shop is brought to you by SMACNA, the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. For more information, visit smacna.org.